Go operator.
Joined.
Alan.
Joined.
Nick.
Joined.
Hello, Nick.
Good morning. Well, afternoon, I guess, for you now.
Yep.
And congratulations. You get another year of
Frederick.
fun and exciting.
Joined.
2 years.
Another 2 years, yeah.
My something just rolleth over, whatever the expression is.
Be careful what you ask for, I think is the phrase I'm looking for.
I'm learning that.
Darlene Thompson.
Joined.
Hello, Darlene.
Hello.
Who all have we got here so far?
Nick and Alan are the only ones to admit themselves here.
And Frederick's here, yeah.
Ah, okay.
So we have staff and you and me. Okay, hi guys.
Nick, do you have a few minutes after this call to talk about that spreadsheet you sent me, which I never had a chance to work with?
I do.
Just a few minutes. Guess I'll have to find it then.
Pardon me. Catching my other half's bloody cold now.
Oh, lovely for you.
Yeah.
Twice as much opportunity.
Rendler.
Joined.
Hey, Bo.
Oh, there. How you doing?
Getting a cold, but I'm otherwise okay. Oh, and I spent the day sitting next to Chris Murray, by the way.
Oh, yeah. What, you're in D.C. now for the
Carol Sherman.
Joined.
No, I'm at the A2K conference. Diamond. Trying to recruit Gary. More people.
Joined.
Oh, good. How's Chris doing? I haven't talked to him for a while.
Seems good.
By the way, who has a bubbling fountain in their background?
Ever. Or a fish tank.
Joined.
Trisha.
Joined.
Seth Reese.
Joined.
And a jolly good afternoon to everybody.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Wherever you all are.
Hello.
Hello, Trisha. It's Alan here.
Ah, hi.
Again.
It said that I was the ninth person, so hopefully not the last.
Our chairman just joined us, but then disappeared.
And then came back.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Evan.
Just weren't sure if you wanted to stick around or what.
Join.
You're getting to know me too well.
Oh,
who was that that just joined?
I think it was Carl Auerbach.
Yes.
Hello, Carl. Nick here.
Hello. I'm mostly just going to be listening.
I don't believe that, Carl. Trisha.
Oh, I was working up late last night, working on trying to integrate a thing called cherry pie with a pack.
Joined.
Okay. I sort of hate to cut down the pleasantries, but we have a really packed schedule in front of us. And so, what I'd like to do is, can we sort of go through a list of everybody who's online?
Yeah, who I've got online here is myself, Darlene Thompson, you, Evan, Frederick Taboul, Alan Greenberg, Nick Ashton-Hart, Bo Brendler, Gareth Sherman, Dharma Daly, Trisha Drakes, Seth Reese, Carl Auerbach, and I think I missed someone.
Danny.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming, Danny. I knew you were going to have problems coming in and out.
Seth, how are you?
Hi.
Hey, Seth.
Okay, have we missed anybody? Okay. What I'd like to do is, without further ado, get right into the agenda. The very first thing that we are slated to talk about is related to the ALAC review. We have, I believe, two people from the Board Governance Committee who are here. Tricia and, sorry, who is the other person here from the committee?
Carl.
Sorry?
Carl Auerbach.
Hi, Carl. So Tricia and Carl are here essentially to discuss the Westlake recommendations on the ALAC review. And I think
actually, Evan, not quite. Just to be clear, what we're here to do is really to gather your, so to listen and gather your input and comments, because what we're doing at the moment is to prepare the document for CAIRO, which is our current thinking document, and obviously it's got to be ready quite quickly so that we can get the translations done. So we're here at the moment really to listen and to get your input and comments rather than to discuss. It might be it's a language point, but there is a difference in that.
Okay. Would you prefer that we just went around individually to everybody on the call to get their impressions of things, if that's the case?
Yeah. And as I say, comments and input. Obviously, this is not a substitute for any comments that you'll give by the 12th of September when the period closes. But we really wanted to have the opportunity to firsthand gather some comments.
Okay. Darlene, could you possibly go through the list of the people that are on the call to make sure that we can call out everybody and make sure we get their two cents?
Sure. Okay. The first one after Z and me and Frederick is Alan Greenberg.
Well, can I...
Go for it, Alan.
No, I've already had a crack at Tricia in a previous meeting, so I haven't heard it, and I'd
like to hear you.
If I can start, because I'm afraid that my comment might be that my impression may be inaccurate, and other callers may be able to give a more accurate representation and bring me into line with what the rest of the Rallos thinking about it. And it will only take a minute.
We have no intention of bringing you into line at all.
Well, my impression coming into joining the at-large, the perception that I have of the role of at-large is something that is akin to, in the United States, what we have in our legal system, something called a guardian ad litem. And the guardian ad litem is somebody that's court-appointed, usually a lawyer, but not necessarily, who... their job is to sort of make sure that the legal system and any other parties treats well, is looking out for an individual who is usually a child, but could be, you know, someone else that can't look out for themselves on going through, you know, a legal process. And so that's analogous to me of what at-large is supposed to do, is that we're supposed to be always mindful of how Internet users are affected by the ICANN, by the, you know, whatever's going on in ICANN, which would be distinct from, for example, the World Health Organization or, you know, some other NGO trying to think about how Internet Internet policy affects health policy, for example, which are both appropriate, but you can't really do both at the same time well. So that's my thinking on that. I don't know if that matches up with anything else that anyone else thinks.
Is it appropriate to ask questions? This is Carl speaking.
Could I make a suggestion that we give everybody a chance to give their piece and then we do the questions?
Sure.
But if his question is directly towards what she was saying, it might make sense to do it now. That's just my two cents.
Either way.
Go ahead.
One area which we have trouble wrestling with is the definition of Internet user. What do you think an Internet user is? Or who do you think an Internet user is? Where does it end?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, you used the word.
Yes. I think that that is something that that is a role that specifically the NCUC and at large can have a real role in identifying, because clearly part of the you know, part of all politics is always that you make your constituency as big as possible when you're pushing your agenda, and, you know, when you're pushing against an agenda, make it as small as possible, right? And so we see that, you know, again and again with ICANN policy, that there's a lot of confusion over whether somebody's an internet user, a registrant, a registrar, and so on, that those things are all really conflated. And I think that that my hope is that over the next several months or the next, you know, period of time, that we would really be able to sort of break down who is impacted in what ways, in more discrete ways, that would sort of be some of the policy work that we would be trying to address. And I'm hoping that we can do that preceding the summit and get some of that done at the summit, because I think it's really critical for me to understand what policies impact the specific internet users that I want, you know, that I'm in contact with. And it is problematic, and it's not an issue that's going to go away, because we all know that there is no such thing as an internet user. People use an internet, even the same person uses internet contextually, depending on where they are and what they're using it for. So,
can I ask a follow-up?
As long as it's close, because we really do want to get to everybody.
Okay. Is a person who has a business selling trinkets on eBay a different, even though the same physically biological person, is that a different person for the purpose of internet governance than that same person acting, say, in representing their children on the internet?
I think that's a really good question for the entire internet community, you know, for the internet governance community to be addressing. And I think in terms of that kind of fine-tuning, I think that there does need to be a process of continual discussion on that that is open and out there and things, and that we sort of can group and cluster and get a sense of that, probably within each region, because I think it's going to be very different in a North American context, I would imagine, than in other regions. They may have different definitions or different pairings of what, you know, what kind of roles people are doing. But the overall role, I think, of the at large should be to sort of be identifying those kind of that kind of fine tuning is something that we are really in a position to help do, I feel, because we're taking on that specific role of saying we're going to be mindful of internet users. So therefore, we're going to develop a rigorous process for identifying who internet users are and how they're impacted.
Also, I suspect that there may be other people in on this call who may have other answers to that, because some of that goes to some of the things you've been asking in regards to things like the issue number 12 and so on. So is it okay for us to start to go through the list of other people and give them their piece?
Go ahead. It's your meeting.
Darlene, who you have first?
Alan, if he chooses to enlighten a lot of us as to what he said already, because I'd like to hear his words.
Well, I was previously talking about Recommendation 12, which was one of the questions posed to the GNSO, and I did send that to our mailing list yesterday. The summary of it is, I think the question is ill-advised, because the GNSO and the ALAC have two different roles, and if someone wants to participate in either of the roles and they meet the criteria, then they should join, and the two are not mutually exclusive.
Mean NCUC by that, not GNSO, right?
Well, NCUC is the old form within the GNSO that a user-type thing would have joined. Under the new model of the GNSO, it's going to be a wider thing than NCUC. But if some group or person meets the criteria and they're interested in GTLD issues, then that's a good place for them. If they're interested in a wider scope of things, then ALAC may well be the place to be, and they could be in both. I'd like to answer Carl's question of what is a user. And you gave a very specific thing, is a user who sells trinkets when he's selling, you know, a user. Chuck Gomes is a user when he's using the internet, and he's not fulfilling his role as an employee of a registry. If he gets tricked by spam or by phishing, he's a user. You know, that's not necessarily ICANN's domain, but nevertheless, as an example. And so anyone who puts their hand on a keyboard is a user in some aspect of their role, almost anyone.
Quick follow-up, a keyboard being a voting machine, for example, even though someone doesn't have an email account?
Say that again?
Suppose somebody's voting on an electronic election, and the results are transmitted by the Internet. Are they users?
No. From ICANN's perspective, I mean, maybe in some...
we don't need to go into it now. I'm just raising these questions. There's fine lines that need to be thought through.
In some environment, they might be considered a user because they generate bits. We're talking about with respect to ICANN's issues, and it's someone who interfaces with the Internet using the domain system.
Actually, Carl, I need to step in and just make sure that we've got some clarification. We're one quarter into the call already. I want to make sure, are you here to ask for people's general ideas on the principles behind, you know, what is a user, what is ALAC or whatever, or you're here specifically about Westlake recommendations?
I'm here as a committee member, and I'm trying to instigate thoughts on some of the issues that we're facing.
Okay.
I think also, Evan, in terms of the point about internet users, that was specifically really responding to the earlier point, because the whole internet user question was a key one. So, I mean, to be clear, we're here to be really helpful in getting input and trying to understand, you know, some of the key points that your colleagues are bringing out.
I'm not questioning that. I'm only saying we had 8 issues on the agenda. I have no problem even calling a second North American RALO conference call in order to make sure we accommodate this, but it's just we did have a lot packed in, so I wanted to make sure there was some focus.
Next person up would be Bo. Bo, are you on mute? Are you there?
I had to take myself off mute. This is specifically to respond to or to just make a brief comment on the ALAC review?
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I've made a lot in the context of one-on-one interviews I did with Westlake, and their very, very, very long questionnaire they sent. Subsequently, my major comment has been I've felt that most of what I told them and in subsequent conversations I had with other people about what they said to them, it didn't appear that got reflected in the overall document, mostly as it pertains to representation of the user community in the ICANN process.
Can I make one quick point there, which is that the ALAC review group, so none of us have actually had access to any of the information that you've provided to Westlake for reasons of confidentiality on their side. So if there are any documents that you have, and this has come up in other groups where they assume we've seen everything, but actually we've seen nothing as the confidential stuff that went in. So if there are things that are helpful, then please do let us have it, but be aware that we haven't seen the direct input that individuals gave to Westlake.
Okay. Well, I'll see if I can dig up that document then. It must range to 45 or 50 different questions, ranging from the relatively simple to the incredibly detailed and complex, and it took hours to fill it out. But basically, my feedback has boiled down to a couple of different points, and I'll reiterate them again. One is that I think that that the ALAC is not and will never be truly representative of the user community until it has a stronger voice or a stronger mechanism for participation in the ICANN community, whether that is in the form of board seats or whether it's in the form of joining with the NCUC so that there's an actual vote on issues that happen. In other words, something that's greater than a simple advisory role. So that's pretty much what most of my comments ran to.
Okay, next.
Okay, next up would be Gareth Sherman.
Just, I don't want to take a lot of time here, but just a couple of things. I would like to support the statements made just a few minutes ago by both Bo and Alan. Yes, we do represent all of the users of the Internet in whatever role they are. And secondly, I strongly agree with Bo that ALAC will not fulfill its role until it has a stronger input into the ICANN process.
Excellent. Next one would be Seth.
Yeah, I'm generally unprepared, but I think I can agree with the comments by Bo. As far as Carl's question about users, I think everyone is a user.
Alan.
Joined.
I think everyone is a user except for the person who votes using somebody else's mechanical program. I think in that case it's the voting company that's the user, not the person who isn't even aware he or she is using the Internet. I think ALAC's role and our role is at large organizations is to fill in the gap that the other constituencies don't fill. They also represent users of some sort. But our role is to represent those that aren't well represented, in particular the people who don't understand or don't appreciate the complexities of the Internet and the good and bad that's going on out there. So those are my comments.
Excellent. Sorry for the little pauses as well. I'm tippity typing here trying to catch up to what the person just said. Next person up is Danny Younger.
Yeah, my comments have already been publicly posted to the forum. I'm of the view that there is no continuing purpose for the ALAC, that it's a miserable failed experiment, and it ought to be buried as quickly as possible and replaced with a more suitable model. I'd be happy to elaborate privately to either Tricia or to Carl on that point.
Darn, Danny, I thought you'd take the opportunity of the call to tell us what you really thought.
Well, you know, having an off day.
Okay. And last but not least, Robert.
Just as a light aside, as Danny knows, when I was on the board, Danny used to send me interesting comments, and so I had to smile as he was saying that because it reminded me of that.
Yeah, this is there's a question and I think a general comment that I have. I think the general comment that I've been, I think that I mentioned to the reviewers is that I think the kind of the premise of at large, which is kind of trying to represent kind of the citizens of the Internet, just like you would have citizens of a country or consumer advocates in a country would, you know, try to bring issues to the attention of parliamentarians. I think that role is always good. I think the problem with the way at large is structured is that it bases its premise on how Internet users were structured when ICANN was founded. And so years ago, you know, people would access the Internet through user groups, and I think that premise is how ALAC is structured. So you have to be part of a group to have access to the Internet. So in order to participate in at large, you have to be part of a group or an organization. The Internet, in terms of, you know, how people express freedom of expression and participate in democracy online, has changed a lot in the last 10 years. No longer do you have to be part of a BBS or a group to connect to the Internet. You just connect through the different mechanisms. And so I think that in terms of at large, it's stuck in a premise and a way of organizing that is not really the reality of today's internet user. So I think that's there's a basic disconnect there, and so it that's why, I would say to a certain extent is that people who are familiar with the old models are the ones that are participating, but this huge big community of people that are active bloggers that participate in a whole bunch of other campaigns online are markedly absent in the ICANN discussions, and those are the type of people that, you know, should want to know about it. So I think the biggest problem is that internet users, the best way to say it is just don't know what they don't know. And so, you know, if you ask anyone, your average user, they will probably know something about a domain name, that it's something that you type into a browser. You get into anything else and people don't know. The other big issue as well, too, is the very centralized funding model that ICANN seems to have, and the frustration over the last 2 years, particularly with some of us from North America, and this is my own personal view, is that a lot could have been done instead of having to go through a very elaborate, controlled process if kind of some seed money would have been made available with appropriate oversight. A lot of outreach activities and other type of events to get people to know about ICANN and internet governance and really connect on some of these issues would have been possible. But because that wasn't there, nothing was done. And also cost savings that, you know, internet users or groups that are involved in North America could have done, we got kind of frustrated and, you know, the activity has really gone down, and it's a big problem, and particularly in North America where, you know, ICANN is based. It's surprising that there are no more at-large groups. There are relatively few, given that that's where more could be done. And so I think, you know, based on a false premise in terms of how people access the Internet and, you know, really lack of seeding the base and not a bottom-up, I think the structure really doesn't apply and is an old model.
Apropos of that, exactly that point about funding, I'd like to ask a question. Can I go ahead?
Was it specifically to Robert? Or to
particularly funding. So there's some sympathy within the review group about funding moving down to lower levels. And the question, of course, is what sort of financial controls can local groups, regional groups, whatever, put into place to assure that the money is actually properly spent and used?
I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways. I mean, I think, you know, one way that it could be done is kind of a donor-type model where there's a competition. And,
I'm not so much concerned about the sources as much as the accountability, the responsibility.
It really depends on the type of groups, but if one is dealing with, instead of individuals, if there are nonprofits or some sort of structured entities, then, you know, a contract could be entered into.
Well, I don't, let's not take time to answer it,
sure.
But just put that in your queue of things to think about. If you got money, how would you make sure it's used properly and accountably and that sort of thing?
I'll answer really quickly without getting into too much details, is that's not something new. I mean, there's, you know, micro credit or micro finance type approaches is something that there's a lot of different models around, and one doesn't need to invent the wheel. One can take models that currently exist and you know, think if they work. I mean, if microfinance can work in developing countries, surely something like that can work in North America.
This is Dharma. I feel very strongly as well that it's really important that funding is on more than one fiscal year cycle, because as an all-volunteer organization, it's very hard for us to plan in the timetable that you could if you were if you've got people on staff. And so I think it's equally important that there's a 3-year cycle or a 5-year cycle, so that we know whatever modes of the money channeling down, that it's something that we can plan and prepare for and build up over time, instead of fighting every 6 months, every session for what we're going to get for the next 6 months, which is ridiculous.
Okay, next one I believe would be Evan.
Okay. I guess I just want to address a couple of things, starting with your question about what is a user, and I'll try and make this brief. In my own mind, I sort of split, you know, the chain of people who are involved in ICANN into sort of a bit of a food chain, so to speak. At the top level, you have companies that are providing Internet services that are generally referred to within ICANN parlance as the contracted parties. Then in the middle, you have information providers who are consumers of this stuff from the contracted parties, but they're providing information out through the Internet, and they're providing good services and so on. And then at the bottom of the food chain, you basically have people who are browsing the net, who are obtaining services and goods over the Internet, but they're removed from the very top. The end users don't directly ever deal with registries, but are affected by it very indirectly. So you have situations, for instance, and for, I'd say most of the composition of the GNSO are those people in the middle who are the user community in that parlance are people who are buying things from the suppliers of Internet services, such as registrars and registries, and yet they're using the Internet to supply information to other people, which is why you get involved in things like trademarks and so on, which are such a big deal. And the thing is, compounding the problem, of, as has been noted, is that at any given time, somebody from the top of that food chain can end up running into phishing issues, in which case they're a consumer of the Internet just like the rest of us. So, you know, that gets back to some of what Alan was saying, in that, you know, what makes an organization more likely to be in at large or in NCUC or into the structure of GNSO? Depending on context, there's a lot of instances where people can find themselves wearing multiple hats, and that probably has to be accommodated in some way. In regard specifically to the ALAC review, I share Bo's frustration in the fact that here you are asking us all over the same kind of questions that Westlake had asked us before, only now you got a filtered version from Westlake of information that doesn't reflect what most of us told them. And since everything's confidential, we now have to tell the whole thing to you all over again. And I guess I find that particularly frustrating in terms of the way this is all being done. And definitely what's been said about, you know, Carl, the question you had about the transparency of the issue, I continue to feel like ALAC is seen as a bit of a charity case to ICANN. We're not told anything about how much is spent on us. We're not given access to budget information in any level of detail. When staff says, "Oh, guess what? We've just hired some new people," there's no say in who or how much or how things are allocated. We've had a miserable episode with the whole travel allocation situation, where on one person's whim, oh, you guys are going to the meeting, oh, you're not going to the meeting. We can change policy on a dime. It's like we're put in a position of practically begging for what we get, and I think this has an effect on the whole morale of at large, which also leads a bit, I think, to its ineffectiveness. I don't know how much of that you're going to be able to address here or even in this go-around with the ALAC review, but at least amongst the people I come across, this feeling like, you know, we're treated like a charity case is common to the point where I'd almost call it pervasive.
The reason I laughed is one of the things I personally push on is to get accounting, and we've had the same degree of frustration with the lack of ability to obtain any good information about what the system costs.
You know, when there's time to allocate staff, we're not told how much would ALAC like, what kind of people do we want. We're just sort of given it, oh, guess what, we've hired someone.
It may be worthwhile for me to interject a question right now just to put in the back of your heads but not to answer, which is, what would you feel if the ALAC got no funding whatsoever? Is there a risk that the funding creates a dependency channel? Don't answer it. Just think about it. You know, it's a concern. It's the same issue we have in the U.S. with public voting versus private funding of elections versus public funding of elections. Same issues of is there a control mechanism? Does it turn the ALAC into a marionette?
I mean, do we have a comment period now? I mean,
you'll be able to comment to us. These are just thoughts, the issues that I have in my head I'd like to hear input on. I know we don't have time during this phone call.
Could you please put the could you please put some of those open-ended questions into an email that we can send out to the list and sort of gel those things on email and Skype chats and things like that? Because we're, as you say, we're definitely not going to resolve them here.
I know the working group are putting together a paper of our thoughts, our initial thoughts, and I know I've been typing up lots of stuff, which I haven't yet sent into the working group, and hopefully that will be public soon.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you interested in listening input from all the people who said that they gave an earful to Westlake in that Westlake report?
I'm interested in the two parts of that, what the input is and also the failure of the Westlake process, if there was a failure. We don't know that there was a failure. There's anecdotal information right now.
Okay. Because one of the other things that's come up has been the whole issue of regional representation. And that's come up in two forms. It's come up in one form about the fact that we now have some ALSs that would like to be represented in either more than one region or a different region from the one they've currently been put in. You have a situation, for instance, where the U.S. Virgin Islands is part of the North American. The U.K. Virgin Islands is part of the European RALO.
And St. Pierre and Miquelon are counted as North America, even though they're French. I'm quite aware of a lot of that, because remember, I was the elected North American representative. One question which is in the back of my head, does the regional layer of ICANN, of the ALAC, the RALO layer, make sense?
Westlake never asked that. Instead, they just decided to allocate two more non-coms to Asia and figuring that was going to even out the whole balance.
And at the risk of being...
Can I get in there sometime, Talon?
Go ahead.
Yeah, with regard to the issue of RALOs and the overall structure, Westlake was really given a no-win situation in that they were told they were reviewing the ALAC explicitly, but then they were tossed a few questions which had to do with the structure. And it wasn't at all clear whether they were doing one or the other or both. And they ended up doing a little bit of both. So the question, I think, needs to be asked, but it's not clear that this review really addressed that.
Well, remember, they're just the beginning of the review. They're just a piece of input.
I understand, but it's not clear that their assignment addressed that issue at all because of that dichotomy in the way the question was asked.
Yeah, I recognize that. There's some music coming over the channel, by the way.
Not for me.
Okay. Nice music, but it's still coming over. I just wanted to interject two other questions I don't need answers for, but I just wanted to mention that I've been thinking while listening. One is nobody has mentioned IP address policy, and that's kind of important. The other one is the ALAC. This is going to sound like a Stephen Colbert question. The ALAC, is it a giver of advice or a holder of reins of accountability? What is the ultimate purpose of the ALAC?
Why are they mutually exclusive?
I'm not saying they are.
Excuse me, operator, can you track down the cause of that music and kill it?
Probably on hold music. Anyway, those are some of the concerns I have that we're looking at in this review process. We're looking at a fairly broad idea of what is the purpose of the at-large system entirely, not necessarily just tweaking the system.
But your mandate goes far beyond Westlake.
Yes.
Well, Carl, if that is indeed the case, then I think you're starting off disadvantaging yourself, because none of those questions were asked, and none of the input to date from any of the parties to date has really been asked to address that, although a couple of us have done it on the side.
And don't forget, I tend to look at anything, I personally tend to look at things expansively rather than narrowly.
No, I understand, but if the decision that comes out of this, and I'm not saying the decision is good or bad, has to do with the overall structure of at large, then that should have been studied to some extent.
If I can just, and I might be being pedantic here as the,
okay,
as the chair, because we've actually discussed this at length, and Yvette, it even came up at an earlier board call. I mean, basically, as with Westlake, the independent review is of the ALAC, but obviously that in terms of what we need to do, or what we're tasked to do. One is to look in terms of whether the ALAC has a continuing purpose, and then if it does, to look at any recommendations, mindful of the report. And I think it's in that context that Carl is being very helpful, both within the group, but also gathering information. So the mandate's very clear, which is, based on the independent review, is the recommendation there's a continuing purpose? And if it does, you know, are there any recommendations within that? So it's not a broad second review that the group's doing. It's looking at the Westlake report and the recommendations, but then bringing out, answering that second point. Yes. And that's also why we're doing quite a bit of outreach as we're drafting the initial thinking report for Cairo.
Could I possibly again ask the two of you to craft an email that we can send out to the Narrowlow list that we can then use to get the comments of people that don't always show up on the calls but are always monitoring the email?
Yep, that's good. The only thing, Evan, I would just say is that, and in fact, Carl and I and some of the others are meeting in a couple of days' time. We'll get that note out and that email out, but it will then need, in terms of getting into the initial thinking report, and remember there'll be another period of comments and input after Cairo, we'll need to get the feedback fairly quickly so that we can reflect it because of this translation that we're determined we actually get translated copies of the report. That's actually reducing the amount of time. So, yes, we will. But there'll be a short period of time to give it to us for the initial thinking, and then there'll be a subsequent opportunity, obviously, post-Cairo.
Okay. Since we've got a number of things, some of which are really timely, can we possibly wrap this up within the next few minutes?
And I don't have any more questions.
Sorry?
I have no more questions.
Okay. I'd like to take this to email and to follow it up. I think you'll get some extremely thoughtful comments from people when they sort of have the time to sort of think at home on their keyboard. If we can do that and follow it up that way. And I assure you that the folks within this group are not shy.
Nor are the people on the working group either. So we like to have both the good and the bad, as I'm sure Alan will pick up from the earlier one. But we're looking to gather as much as possible.
Are you looking for a consensus from the region, or are you looking to get individual comments?
Both, actually, and in fact, in other areas, we're getting individual comments. And also whether it's within, for example, on, you know, different groups there. So if you can clearly state whether you're giving that view as an individual or whether you're giving that view as within the RALO. But we're open to both.
Okay. I guess on that note, thank you for coming here, and move on to the next item.
Okay, and on behalf of both of us, we also thank you for allowing the time. It's very helpful.
Do you want me to stay on the line, or should I?
You're welcome to stay if you'd like. We have less than 20 minutes left.
Oh, I'll hang on the line.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks very much.
See you
Thanks,
Sunday,
Carl.
Then.
Bye.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Okay, I'm going to try and escalate those things that are timely that we need to deal with for time reasons.
For sure.
I'm sorry?
Left.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the very first thing that I want to do is I'm going to call your attention to the call for nominations open for the ALAC position. So we're going through a formal voting process for the position of the North American rep to ALAC. That position has been held by Bo for the last year. whose term is up because it was a staggered term. His was 1 year. And I believe, Bo, that you're standing for renomination.
Yes, I will stand for renomination gladly.
Okay. And so to keep things by the book, we have a formal procedure that is in place that will culminate with, if necessary, an electronic voting system that the staff has put in place. Please check the email for the North American list for the details and the dates to do this. And I'm just doing that so to save time as not to have to repeat them all on this call. Okay, next. I want to call your attention to an email that Danny had sent out to the list, dated the 27th of August, titled Restoring the Safety Net. And the reason why I'm escalating that is because this is on the ALAC agenda for tomorrow's meeting, and it would be nice if we could provide some input to ALAC regarding this. Danny, I probably can't speak better on this issue of the redemption grace period better than you can, so I'm going to give the floor to you. Danny, are you there? Okay. So is there anyone here who has read Danny's email talking about the issues regarding the redemption grace period, which is the time frame from the time that a domain name expires until the time that it goes back into the pool of available domains? And Danny pointed out that there are a number of increasing abuses of this in case of registrars who are actually taking domain names almost the day they expire and either buying it themselves or putting them up for sale. And so Danny had noticed that there is increasing abuse of this redemption grace period and wanted to make this an ALAC issue that ALAC would then take to the rest of ICANN to try and tighten up. Danny, are you back with us? Okay. Does anyone here have any comments or questions on the issue?
This is Bo. I did talk to Danny a bit about this issue and agreed with him on it and said I would help bring it, you know, to the ALEC's attention. So, I mean, if we're looking for somebody to do that in tomorrow's ALEC call, I will volunteer to do that, although I think they probably are already aware of it. I mean, in my I believe that this is a similar issue to that which the business constituency and others have raised under the name of warehousing. So it shouldn't be a foreign concept to anybody, I don't think.
Okay.
I think that would be great if Bo could bring that up tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
And I really invite the rest of you to go back into your email archives, look for a message of Danny's called Restoring the Safety Net. Please inform yourselves about this issue. If we require more background on it, we can ask staff to do a briefing on it. But I definitely agree that this is something that if ALAC needs a push, that we can give it. But from the sounds of what you just said, Bo, it looks like they may be able to take it on anyway.
Either through directly through Danny's suggestion, or there is a possibility of addressing it through the RAA as well, I believe. Since it has also come up via other constituencies in the RAA consultation form as well.
If I might.
Sorry?
If I might.
Oh, hi, Nick.
Note something. I had sent around a note earlier suggesting that since there are so many subjects that are in one way or another related to the way in which registering domain names operates and those who offer services to do that operate. I offered two briefings on the subject so that those who felt that they did not sufficiently have the depth of knowledge that Danny has would be able to learn a bit more. And I note that there are a couple of positive comments about doing that. I think Cheryl also sent me something saying that she thought that having briefings on these subjects would be good ideas, and I have separately suggested to the staff in planning the ICANN meeting in Paris that since there is in Cairo, sorry, I'm falling one behind, that maybe briefings of this sort would actually be helpful to in Cairo also, since there are so many issues related to the RAA and registrants that are topical at the moment.
Darlene here. I so agree with you there, Nick, because as you say, there's so many of us that don't have Danny's level of understanding about this stuff. When he comes up with one of these wonderfully worded emails, and it sounds like he's right on the nose, but I don't know enough about the thing to know if, you know, if he is or isn't, and I certainly wouldn't speak against him because my knowledge isn't up there. So, I mean, just to get us sort of up to speed, I think those are so important.
So, I agree with Darlene.
Nick, I had to drop off for a few seconds. Are you talking about a briefing or a document?
Two briefings, actually.
Okay. May I suggest that a document is also not inappropriate? Essentially, we're talking about a briefing document that new people, as they come in, can look at, which explains what business we're in. I think it makes some sense that we try to put the overall process of domain names and DNS and, you know, and the registration process into perspective for people who are coming into this as newbies. So I strongly support the briefing, but I think we need some ongoing documents at all.
Yeah, I would say that a briefing to ALSs is probably more important than doing a workshop at an ICANN meeting, because a lot of the people that are at the ICANN meeting probably have at least some of a clue about this, but there's really a necessary issue about making sure that the components of at-large, the ALSs, not just within our region but everywhere, are understanding of some of these issues, which to some people might be basic and obvious, but certainly are not within at-large.
I certainly didn't envisage, just for sake of clarity, that it was an either-or thing.
Okay.
Not only is everyone not able to attend ICANN meeting, but also it's a different group of people who often do, as you say. So I think that certainly we could do both. And, Alan, I am very happy, if you like, to propose that some of the policy issue briefs that have been done on other subjects could be done on various aspects of domain name registration.
I'll give you a simple example. I'm a moderately knowledgeable person. About a little over a year ago, I got involved in a case of someone similar to what we're talking about, someone whose name disappeared and suddenly it ended up being monetized. And I went through policies, I went through consensus policies, and I found a delete grace period that I thought had been directly violated. But when I looked into it a little bit farther, I found that was a delete grace period that exists between the registry and the registrar. And the registrar may extend it to a registrant at their own volition, but they have no obligation to. And these things are far from clear, even if you delve into the documents.
May I jump on this, since I was involved in the creation of some of these policies?
Sure.
Yeah, first, directly, Jermaine, to your last point, one thing I've asked many times is, should ICANN put third-party beneficiary status into its contracts with registries, registrars, granting domain name registrants specific rights under the contracts to enforce them? Because right now, ICANN specifically denies third-party beneficiary rights. The other point I wanted to make, though, is with these briefs or whatever documents are called, there is a risk that they become ossification of a particular point of view. For example, the registry-registrar model is merely one possible business model. And if one asserts in a briefing that it is the only model, that forecloses a lot of thoughts about the way that the domain name marketplace could evolve in the future. There's a risk there when you nail these things down in documents.
I think in both of your cases, you're talking about things that may not be as they should. There may be better ways of doing it, you know, whether it's third-party rights or a different model. But I think what I was referring to is simply telling people who are getting involved in the process how it works today. You know, we can put all the required qualifications in it, but these are issues that are clear to someone who's been around for a long time, but they're not clear to someone who's walking into it.
Yeah, a lot of people will believe that the registry-registrar model is inviolable.
That's a separate issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a difference between short-term and long-term. Long-term, we can say about where this has to go, but short-term, there's some real problems happening.
Yeah. The third-party beneficiary rights one is one that's fairly arcane and legal, but I think it's fairly important.
It may well be, and that's something we can talk about as something that perhaps we want to fight for.
Actually, Carl,
but it's not an issue in telling someone what the process of registering a name is today, and
yeah, they're two completely separate
and who's screwing you over.
Yeah, because right now somebody doesn't have a lot of third parties have no right to step in and enforce the ICANN contracts,
yep.
As you found.
Okay. Robert?
Just to clarify what Carl just said, in the case that I found, there was no violation. Everything was done by the book. It's just that everyone thought that the words meant had different meaning. Not everyone, but a lot of people.
Yeah, there are several different grace periods.
Yeah.
Okay, Robert has his hands up, his virtual hand up. Robert, you there? Okay. So much for that. Carl, I also think there's a couple of issues in what you've raised that probably has some relevance at the summit.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, for some reason I was muted.
Okay.
Yeah, the one thing I just wanted to add, another person to get in touch with would also be John Levine. He actually has a book on this. And, you know, his presentation in Toronto almost 2 years ago now, you know, was quite good. And I think he also has some good feedback. So there's some good documentation that could be useful. The second point in regards to that, what I would suggest is that if there's any presentation that's done in November, that we try to capture that and put that online, recognizing that only a select few can attend these meetings, but a broader audience would be interested in the presentations as well, and as much as that we can do that, particularly in Arabic as well, because that's where we'll be, will be probably much appreciated.
Okay.
Just to note that all briefings that have been arranged by us are all recorded, and I have publicly posted to the list where they can be found. And they're also on the front page of the At Large website.
Okay. Carl, can I make a suggestion that some of the long-term issues that you're addressing are probably things that could and should be addressed within the summit?
Okay.
And that we should be getting you involved in the summit group because it's been more than once bandied around about the idea of a registrant's either charter of rights or maybe not expressed explicitly that way, but some kind of specific delineation of registrants' rights and to what extent that they're enforced by ICANN has been something that's come and gone as a summit project that might be worth your attention.
Be careful of wearing too small a hat. You're talking about domain name registrants rights, whereas the ALAC spans ICANN as the entire body.
I didn't say that we necessarily had to limit it that way.
Okay. That's been a concern of the working group as well, is just where does the ALAC fit within the structure? And I think we're pretty much of the feeling, as it should be, I believe, that the ALAC is an umbrella organization that spans every aspect of ICANN, beyond policy, even to ICANN structure.
Yeah.
Which is why I asked that question. Is ALAC holds the reins of accountability, or is it merely a giver of advice?
Okay. Alrighty. We were going to address with another issue to deal with the comprehensive review of the accreditation process based on something, again, that Danny had sent that noticed that there's an awful lot of registrars that have hidden addresses. And I don't know if this is also something, Nick, is this also the kind of thing that these briefings are going to deal with?
Joined.
They certainly can. I mean, I proposed a brief outline in the email I sent today of what the two briefings would cover, one being focused on registrants and how the current situation affected them, and a second briefing on end users and how end users were impacted by the registration system that we have now of actors and rules. So certainly anyone who wishes to amend that list of subjects to be covered, I'm very happy to do that.
Okay. We have 1 minute left in our hour, and so that doesn't leave a lot of time for the other four things that are on the agenda. I wanted to get some kind of a feel from the participants here whether or not it's sufficient to bring these out to email or whether or not we should be doing another call before the next regularly scheduled conference in a month. We did have a lot on our plate, and we really haven't done much justice to the some of the issues we've been rushing at the end. What would everybody like to do? Is another call in line, or should we just trust email to do this?
This is Robert. I would be fine with another call.
Hi, this is Beau. Another call is fine if you want to do that. I'm happy to join that.
Is anyone here really opposed to it? Okay. Nick, in terms of the mechanics, is setting up another North American call a problem?
Not at all.
How about the 22nd, One World Day, One Web Day?
Since we tend to have these things on a Monday, that would be 2 weeks from now. Okay, is everyone tentative? Okay with the tentative idea? Well, I'll put it out to email and make sure that everybody's okay. Let's tentatively set another call up for the 22nd, essentially to deal with a lot of the things that were on our plate that we haven't really done justice to today. Carl, would you like to join us again? Because I think some of these were issues you raised, and I'd really like to do some of them justice. We haven't.
I have concern that I may be interfering too much. I'm supposed to be reviewing.
Okay. It's just you've had a lot of good things to contribute here.
Invite him back in 3 months.
Yeah,
sometime
okay, after Cairo.
I'll leave it to you whether or not you want to just lurk or participate or whatever.
I'm a better lurker, although, as you've noticed, I can't keep my mouth shut.
Okay.
Evan, can I suggest that there be more of a filled-out agenda? And so should anyone choose to do some homework and think about things and prepare some thoughts ahead of time, they can.
Well, now that we have a specific list of things that we haven't been able to properly deal with today, that's going to be easy to do. So... all right, so what we'll do is we'll adjourn now with having gone 1 minute into the hour, and we'll make a tentative conference call for the 22nd. So same 2 weeks from now, same time, and we'll start the agenda with things that we really didn't fully deal with today. Is everyone okay with that?
Sounds good.
Hey. We'll set it up.
Okay. Thanks to everybody, and we'll see you back in 2 weeks.
Nick, I'll call you on your regular phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Beau Bendler.
Left.
Robert Guerra.
Left.
Dharma Daly.
Left.
Nick.
Left.
Guerra Sherman.
Left.
Alan.
Left.
Darlene Thompson.
Left. Left.
Carl Auerbach.
Left.
Evan.
Left.
Operator.
Left.